When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson, and this is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio. And Matt, Mike Clay puts out, this is largely through a fantasy football perspective, but he puts out his projections. It's a thing on ESPN.com here. So I wanted to dig into this a little bit, and this also ties in with the scheduling and all the other stuff. We've talked a little bit about this over the last few shows that we've done. But he has projections here. I'm going to give you his projections for these players for the Steelers, and you tell me if that would be on par with what you think or if that would be a disappointment for that player. So for Kenny Pickett, he has 15 games this year.
Okay. I assume you never give anyone 17.
Probably not. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, okay.
So 15 games, completes 323 out of 501 passes. So about 64% of my UPJ math, 64.5%, give or take. 3,456 passing yards. 20 touchdown passes, 12 interceptions.
20 to 12.
Yeah.
I don't think it's horrible. I mean, I think they'll be run heavy. I think the defense will allow them to be run heavy. I think that they'll run the ball well. I'll still go over on touchdowns and yardage, but I don't think these are crazy talks.
No, I think that's a nice progression.
Yeah, right.
For the young quarterback. He also has him for 268 rushing yards and 3 rushing touchdowns. So 23 total touchdowns.
I'll buy that. I may even go slightly over on the rushing yards.
I think he finishes with more rushing yards than that. 268. I mean, you're talking, that's not even 20 yards rushing per game.
Right. I mean, he said 15 games. I mean, if he really does play 17, he'll be maybe 100 yards more than that.
Yeah. So, and then you look at the projections for Mitch Trubisky. Obviously, if Pickett plays 15 games, he's got 2 games for Mitch Trubisky, 45 of 69 for 443 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 27 rushing yards.
Seems like quality backup numbers, which I think he is.
So all told, you're looking at just under 4,000 passing yards and 23 touchdown passes for the Steelers.
23, did you say?
Yeah.
I think I'll go over on total passing yards.
Yeah, that's for 17 games at about 4,000. You're just looking at just a little over 200 yards passing per game. I think they probably do go over that a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't think they'll average 300 yards a game or 275.
Or the 350 that Lamar wants to average. Right.
Yeah, he's going to throw over 2,000 more than these guys, right? The passing touchdowns I'm in on, though, because I think there'll be a lot of plunge touchdowns. I like that he gave Pickett 3 rushing touchdowns. I could see Najee getting to double digits. Warren's going to get a few. You know, Connor Hayward might get a shovel pass or something goofy. Like, I could see them pounding the ball in from in within the five.
Well, we say that, and listen to these rushing totals.
Okay.
So, for Najee Harris, he has, first of all, he only has him playing 14 games.
I would bet running backs, you have to do that.
He probably, I hear you. Yeah. But he isn't, I mean, he plays every game.
I know.
So in 14 games, he has him for 253 carries, 1,016 yards, six rushing touchdowns, 43 catches for 276 yards, and two more scores. I'm going over on that.
Would you be happy with 43 catches? Up from last year.
Well, for 14 games, that's about three per game.
Yeah. That part I thought was encouraging, and I'm hoping that's the case. We harp on that a lot. I'll definitely take over six rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
Especially play 17 games, of course. He doesn't do yards per carry or any of that stuff, I assume.
Well, that's about 4 yards per carry.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, he's never going to be a high yards per carry guy, in my opinion. I mean, he's never going to be five.
No.
I mean, could he be 4-2 this year with better blocking? Certain.
Yeah, sure.
You know.
For Jalen Warren, 94 carries for 418 yards, 26 catches, 190 yards, and a touchdown. He has him scoring two rushing touchdowns.
I like the 26 catches. I mean, if you get 70 catches from your top two backs, give or take.
Yeah.
I think that's moving the football efficiently. And both those guys are good at it.
Yeah, no, for sure. For Anthony McFarland, who's right now is his number three, 34 carries, 146 yards. That's a nice average. One touchdown, six catches for another 44 yards.
I mean, it sounds reasonable. I mean, again, none of these will work that way because someone will get hurt and McFarland will be active for 12 games as a two, or he won't make the team, or, I mean, like,
right.
Knows. But I mean, if you told me that's what he would do and that's the way he'd be used, that adds up perfectly. You know, some of these national guys look at a team and don't think that way. And I think that he has the running back touches and balance pretty well hit.
The thing that he doesn't have to me, so the overall running back total for rushing yards here. Now he does have another, obviously with Pickett, the quarterback's the quarterback's having about 300 rushing yards, and he has about 100 rushing yards for the wide receivers.
Okay.
For the running backs themselves, 390 carries for 1,617 yards, 10 touchdowns, 77 catches, 524 yards, and another three touchdowns. Unless we forget, this team averaged 150 yards rushing per game in the second half of last year.
See, that's where I was going too. Like, that gets to 617 from the running backs. Let's just call it 2,000 when you throw in quarterback and wide receiver rushes.
Right.
That's under 118 rushing yards per game.
Right.
Total as a team. I think they're closer to 125, 130.
Yeah, I think they run for about 2,200 yards.
Yeah. Agree. Yeah. Right. Another way of putting it. I think their run blocking will be better.
I do too. And I think that everything that they've done this offseason is screaming, we're going to run the football.
Yes.
We're going.
And they showed last year they didn't get away from it. You know, I mean, they certainly.
And it was a recipe to win.
Yeah. I'll go over on that. I mean, one thing that hurts them is I don't see a whole lot of 70 yard runs.
Well, I mean, if you see Anthony McFarland out there a little bit more, and Jalen Warren has some juice, I think there's a little more. Put it this way: replacing Benny Snell with Anthony McFarland
is juice.
If that's what happens, if it's just three carries per game,
but well, it's 40 carries a year or 50 carries a year,
he's going to break something.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. But Nick Chubb's on your lead back, or
right. No, you're not gonna have a bunch of them,
right.
But Jalen Warren has some juice there as well.
He does.
So I could see if you get more carries from Warren, you get more carries from McFarland. That's going to give you more opportunity, I think, to break off some longer runs. That's mm-hmm. my point there.
No, that's fair.
At wide receiver, for Deontay Johnson, 127 targets, 79 catches for 971 yards, 4 touchdowns.
I'm glad I didn't give him 0 touchdowns.
That's in 15 games, by the way.
I think he's a 1,000-yard receiver, though.
Well, he's just under that. If he plays all 17,
right?
Then, you know, the numbers extrapolate. If you do that over 17 games, it's probably about 90 catches for, you know, 1,100 yards.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. I guess I'll react to this more once we talk about the other receivers and see how he divvies up the targets and touchdowns and whatnot.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing to look at.
Yeah. But I still think Johnson's going to be the target leader.
Yeah, I do too. He's your chain mover.
Yeah.
For George Pickens, same thing, 15 games, which seems to be about the norm.
By what you do for receivers, yeah.
Yeah. 99 targets, 62 catches for 805 yards and 4 touchdowns.
My initial response is I'll take over on 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would with DJ, you know, with Johnson, but I definitely would with Pickens. I bet I'm trying to do math and talk here, but I would bet yards per catch Pickens is higher than Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah. And he is, mm-hmm. I can do that real quick here. 805 divided by 62 is, that's about 13 yards a catch.
And Johnson is at 12.3. So I bet that discrepancy is a little wider though than 1 yard difference per catch.
Yeah. But would you be happy if Pickens gets basically 100 targets?
I wouldn't be thrilled with under 1,800 yards between the two of them.
Yeah. Well, remember now, we're talking, he has them both playing 15 games.
I know. Right. Because one of them get hurt in week one and you get nothing. Yeah, I mean,
right.
That's why projections are weird, you know?
Right.
I mean, you've heard my argument about over-unders. Like, if you bet under, you bet every under, I bet you win, because who plays the projected number of games?
Right. I might go over with Pickens on maybe across the board.
Yeah. Does he have Robinson or go deeper?
Oh, yeah. He goes all the way through.
Oh, okay.
For Robinson, he's got him playing 14 games, 55 targets, 36 catches for 366 yards and 3 touchdowns.
It sounds minuscule. I mean, Allen Robinson was a Pro Bowler and a top 10 receiver, and you only get 366 yards out of the guy. But I don't think that's going to – I think there's going to be some – a lot of them be on third downs. You know, I like that he got 3 touchdowns. You know, slant in the middle of the field, move the chains.
Well, I mean, we've already established he's got 77 catches for 524 yards to the running backs.
Yeah.
You know, the pie is only so big.
That's what I say. Like, when you start adding up projections, it can't add up to 6,000 passing yards. Like,
well, that's the one nice thing about this is everything adds up.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, he's done this many times and.
Yeah, probably ran it through a computer, you know, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you told me today, will Allen Robinson have more than 366 receiving yards next year? I would say yes. But everyone's always tempted to say the over because it's real easy to envision it. One game with 80 yards, a couple with 40 before you know you're there.
Yeah.
But that's not how projections work.
For Calvin Austin, has him playing 15 games, 21 targets, 14 for 159 and a touchdown.
Okay. I mean, 21 targets to me is logical. There's a chance he gets under that, you know. I mean, I just to be a realist.
Yeah.
But that one touchdown might be an 80-yarder.
Right.
You know.
Gunnar Olszewski, 6 catches, 76 yards. And then Miles Boykin, 3 catches, 38 yards.
He didn't do Miller, though.
He did not do Miller.
Okay, fair enough. I don't know if Gunnar makes team.
Yeah, well, somebody's got to return.
Mm-hmm.
At tight end position. And this is the other part of the equation here for this. So basically he has Freiermuth as their number three target guy.
I agree with that. I think he out-targets Robinson.
Yeah. He has him with 88 targets, 60 catches for 650 yards and 4 touchdowns.
He exceeded that if you just look at his healthy games. Wasn't there 2 games that he had the foot that he did like very little and
yeah.
Snap count was really low. I think it was 2 games. But if you look at the 12, 13, 14, whatever it was, healthy games, his yards for route run, targets, they weren't Kelsey level, but they weren't far off.
He was weren't like far off, yeah.
I might
that
go
puts
over
him, that floor. Puts him, because he did this for the whole league. So that would put him in terms of fantasy PPR tight end position at number mm-hmm. 8. Number 8 in the league.
Like who's, you look at the list, like who's 6?
It doesn't say. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
This is just.
He'll probably be the 8th tight end drafted whenever we do fantasy stuff. I mean, he'll go behind like Goddard and Hawk. But I think I'll take the over on those projections.
Yeah. I think if he gets 88 targets, first of all, I think if he gets 88 targets, he catches more than 60 of them.
I mean, I'm not trying to like make a big splash, but I thought he was our best offensive player last year and looked like a star in the making.
Yeah. Connor Hayward, he lists Connor Hayward as a tight end, which he shouldn't be, but he is still listed here. He has 22 targets, 15 catches, 157 yards, and 1 touchdown. He also has 4 carries for 15 yards. He should realistically be listed with the running backs here.
He probably gets more than 4 carries. You think he catches 15 balls next year?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, Austin's at 14. Who has more catches next year? Yeah, about the same.
Yeah, about the same.
Doesn't sound like much, and it isn't, but that's still, you know, 2 a game. That's a contributor.
Yeah. Darnell Washington, 16 targets, 11 catches for 119 yards, and 1 touchdown.
I think he's going to get thrown the ball more than 16 times.
We'll see. Yeah, but
I mean, all these things are easy to say over. I mean, I get that. I'm not giving Mike a hard time.
Yeah. And then Zach Gentry, 5 targets, 4 catches, 34 yards.
Fair enough. I mean, his will go down from last year.
Yeah. So if we look at the wide receiver production, forgot to do that for their wide receiver room, 200 catches on 318 targets, 2,414 yards, 13 touchdown catches.
The touchdown catches would be way up.
Way up.
How much way up. What was the yardage at?
2,400, just over 2,400.
Seems realistic.
Yeah. For the tight end position, 132 total targets, 90 catches, 961 yards, and 6 touchdowns.
That would be near the top of the league. 90 tight end catches?
Yeah, I think you'd take that.
Yeah. I mean,
and it could be. I mean, when we're rolling through those, you're like, well, I think Freiermuth is better than that. I think Washington is better than that. Could they get more than 90 catches out of their tight end room?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if they play 60% or 50% of their snaps in 12 personnel or more, I mean, they think how many snaps Gentry played after the Claypool trade.
It was a lot. Yeah,
I don't know if they'll get far away from those numbers.
Yeah. The other interesting thing about we can look at, he has fantasy numbers here for the defense as well. I'll give you some numbers here on some guys. He has Alex Highsmith with the best projections for sack totals for the Steelers next year at 10.8.
I can't agree with that.
TJ Watt comes in at 10.4.
I mean, I think double-digit sacks for Highsmith is attainable and a reasonable projection, but to have him out sack TJ sounds a little crazy.
There must be. Well, he has a snap count here for them as well. So he has Highsmith playing 950 snaps, Watt playing 906. That's basically a game's worth.
Those odds.
Yeah. I'll take TJ over 10.4. I know that.
Yeah.
He has Cam Hayward at 788 snaps. and having 70 tackles and 6 sacks.
Okay. I hope his snap numbers go down a little bit. So his back of football card production might go down a little
bit. Let's put it, so the guy who plays the most defensive snaps, according to Clay's projections, is Minkah Fitzpatrick with 1,025.
Which is who I would pick as well.
Yeah, corner pretty situation. Much. You would assume that's just about every defensive snap.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's secondary guys don't get beat up as much. They play more snaps as a general. There's not a linebacker that's Fred Warner on this team that would be in that competition. The corners are still up in the air while their playing time would get divvied out. So it'd have to be Minkah.
Yeah. Ogunjobi has 647 snaps, 2.6 sacks, 48 tackles.
Okay. I'd hope for a little more, but that doesn't sound unrealistic.
Yeah. Looking at the defensive line as a whole, he has that group coming out of the season with 12 and a half sacks.
And he's not counting Watt, and obviously.
No, they're edge. For the edge, he's got their edge rushers at 23.8 sacks. I'd go over that.
I'd go over the collective defensive front number.
Yeah, overall, that would be 36 sacks, basically, out of your defensive front. I'll take the over.
I'm going over on that. So, sack question for you. If I gave you TJ or the field to lead the Steelers in sacks this year, which obviously is a durability question and can be easily answered, which side would you put here?
I'll take TJ.
I would do it. Because he could do it in 12.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Looking at that linebacker position, we've talked a lot about that. He has Cole Holcomb playing 917 snaps, 134 tackles, 1.8 sacks, 0.5 interceptions.
I mean, I think he projects as certainly the snap leader, and everything should follow that didn't follow last year with the off-ball linebackers with Splash.
Yeah.
I mean, there has to be more Splash than last year.
You would think, yeah. Absolutely. Nowhere to go but up. Landon Roberts, 647 snaps, 96 tackles, 1.8 sacks, and 0.2 interceptions.
This is a little unfair to Clay, but I'll go under on snaps on Roberts. I just think they find some other answer. Not that he stinks, you know. I just think that story might not be written yet.
The interesting thing about this is the other two inside backers that he lists are Tay Crowder and Tanner Muse. Now, you know, however you want to look at that, he doesn't know, and nor does the computer know exactly how, you know, what Mark Robinson is. Nobody really does.
I don't envy trying to figure out the third linebacker snap
situation. At the cornerback position.
Real quick question for you, though, because I was asked this today. I didn't put two and two together that the Steelers' new linebacker coach, his name escapes me, was a fourth pick in the draft from Lake Forest.
Yeah, coached Muse in Seattle.
Head coach Muse in Seattle. Do you think he's more than just a pure special teamer? Do you think he make play on the defense some as a better Marcus Allen?
Maybe. I mean, he's athletic, you know.
He was a good linebacker at Clemson. He was third-round pick. He's an athlete.
Right. Yeah, obviously they you know, he liked him there. So we'll see.
He's valuable. Sure.
At cornerback, he's got Patrick Peterson playing the most snaps of any of the corners, 917. 60 tackles, 1.8 interceptions.
I might go over on interceptions based off last year and history.
History tells me that he's going to get his hands on more than 1.8 passes, and he'll catch them. He's got Levi Wallace at 647 snaps, 1.8 interceptions.
These are tough, but I'm not sure Wallace will end up being a big snap guy when it's all said and done.
Well, if Peterson's playing this in the slot, Wallace is going to be out there. He's got Chandon Sullivan third at 540 snaps and 0.7 interceptions.
Okay. I bet history shows and metrics and analytics say don't give rookie cornerbacks a ton of snaps.
Yeah. Well, Porter comes in with the fourth most snaps at 432. 33 tackles and 0.8 interceptions.
Like, I think we all think and hope he'll play more snaps than that.
Yeah. Nenekela Witherspoon, James Pierre, are the other two that on that list. So overall, he's got the cornerback group coming out of this with 5.8 interceptions.
You'd hope for more, but that's not terrible. I mean, interceptions are hard to come by in today's NFL.
They are.
They're way down.
At the safety position, I mentioned Minka at 1,025 snaps, 105 tackles, 3.7 interceptions.
It's a big number. I mean, it doesn't sound like a ton. No, Minka will have at least four picks, but four picks is a good year nowadays.
Yeah, if I had to bet on that one, though, if the Vegas number was 3.7, I'd go over.
Yeah, agreed.
DeMonte KZ, 809 snaps, 62 tackles, 1.5 interceptions.
Quality, that's fine.
Yeah. Keanu Neal, 378 snaps, 0.7 interceptions. Trey Norwood, 216 snaps, 0.5 interceptions.
I'm growing fonder and more open to the fact that Neal might be playing 300 to 400 snaps. I thought he might be Marcus Allen, three snaps, special teamer. But I think he's going to be part of the defense and have a role.
Oh, he's a better player than Marcus Allen.
Yeah. I thought his roster spot was the Marcus Allen one, and it's not.
So overall, 229 tackles, one sack, and 6.5 interceptions from the safety groom.
I hear you. The one thing, a discrepancy, but I don't envy Clay for this at all, is I bet they have numerous defensive players that play 900 or more snaps, let alone 1,000.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah.
But I just don't know who they
were. I mean, it all balances out, in the end. We talked Monday actually about the schedule. He actually breaks down the schedule here with what the computer the computer model comes out with on the win probabilities on these games.
Oh, really?
So looking at the schedule, he just has them. We don't know where the games are being played or when the games are being played. We know where they're being played. So he has I don't know how he decided how to list them here, but he had Seattle first. Visiting at Seattle, 42% win probability. Tennessee at home, 71%.
That's a big number for the NFL.
Huge number. Basically, in the NFL, anything over 55% gets you in the green on this.
Yeah, okay.
And just looking at that, the Steelers have 9 games in the green.
I mean, if you win 2/3 of your games, you're a Hall of Fame coach all day long.
Yeah. At Baltimore is 37%.
It's fair.
Green Bay at home, 64%. New England at home is 58%. Cleveland in Cleveland is 44%.
Yeah.
Baltimore at home is 45%.
Wow. I thought they would be over 50% in that one.
Yeah, well.
Projections for Baltimore must be good in his metrics.
Yeah. Indianapolis at home, 68%. Jacksonville at home, 57%.
I can't fight many of these.
At Las Vegas, 58%.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Arizona at home, 66%.
Wow. Boy, he has no respect for Tennessee.
None. At Houston, 65%.
Boy, that's massive for a road split.
San Francisco at home, 45%.
I'm sure there's a formula for this, but I wonder what the point spread is if you're a 60% favorite on the road. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Someone out there knows.
How about this one? In Los Angeles against the Rams, 69% win probability.
They're awful. I very much believe they're terrible. Wow. I mean, it might be Stetson Bennett. And
yeah.
I think there's a real good chance of that.
At Cincinnati, 28%. So that's their worst win odds of the year.
That's probably their hardest game.
Cleveland at home, 52%.
I like their chances better than that, but
yeah, I do too.
Understandable.
And then Cincinnati at home is 36%. So if you just look again at the games that they are favored by more than 55%, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, that's 9 games.
Yeah, just in itself.
And then
you'll win 7 of them, but you'll win 2 others.
You throw the Cleveland game in there where they're a 52% chance to win at home. That's 10. And then there's some other games in there that, like the game at home against San Francisco, where it's 45%, The game at home against Baltimore is 45%. I guess you could, and then even the game at Cleveland is 44%.
Right. Again, I think 8.5 win total is crazy.
Yeah.
By
I mean,
the sounds of it, he thinks they win two division games.
Well, I mean, right now that would be what they were. Well, three.
One of them was really close. Like 2.5 probably. Was
yeah. Right. Yeah. But it all comes out according to his projected win or his model, 9.1 wins.
Which is a pretty big difference. I mean, like, it doesn't sound like much. 8.5 wins versus 9.1 wins. Doesn't sound like much. Like, dude, that's, you know, a field goal hitting the upright or going through or missing, you know. But it is when these guys, the Football Outsiders, Vegas, that's a big difference. That would be like, I don't know.
It's almost
like
a full win. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the 9th best versus the 17th best in the league.
You know, it's what we talk about when that schedule comes out, why it's so important where and when you play these teams.
Yeah. Like, Vegas doesn't project any team over under 14.5 wins, but somebody will win 14 or 15 games this year.
Like, this whole thing, the win probabilities may change when the schedule comes out. Are you playing San Francisco at home in September?
Right.
That might, you might actually flip-flop that. You might be a 55% with Sam Darnold at quarterback.
One of them's going to be on a short week on the road.
Right.
You know.
Are you playing Arizona? When are you playing them? You know, stuff like that's going to matter.
Your third straight road game.
Yeah. Is Kyler in the lineup or is Kyler not in the lineup? Well, that makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. So, and things that nobody could project is Jordan Love good or Jordan Love bad?
Let alone just day-to-day injuries. Foul. You know, are you missing your left tackle?
Yeah. Of course. Right. And you laid this out, I think it was Monday. Richardson, Stroud. I mean, there's rookies, Love, rookies / unknown quarterbacks. They might be on fire. They might be horrendous.
Right, right. We'll take a little deeper dive into this Mike Clay stuff here in the next segment. I wanted to take a look at this from a little different perspective.
All right.
So we'll do that when we come back. You can now listen to Steelers Nation Radio anytime, anywhere through your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play Steelers Nation Radio from iHeart. And Alexa will take care of the rest. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.